Now that you got comfortable, please stand for the reading of God's word. I'm only going to make you stand for the first 10 verses. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole realm, or over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.' So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed.' So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, just as he had done before." Please be seated. "Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. 'Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den?' The king answered, 'The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed.'" So far, so good. "Then they said to the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day.' When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, 'Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed.' So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.' A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of the nobles, of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?' Daniel answered, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king.' The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, 'May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel.'" And then he goes into the doxology. "For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. This is the word of the Lord. I've read this story, hundreds of times. And every time I learn something new. I'm going to share the coolest thing with Grace Path today. Now you can, if you want to listen to that, if you want to hear what I learned this week that I've never heard before, you can audit the Grace Path class if you want to. For my Grace Path folks, it's going to be really cool. I hope you like it. In June of 2005, the BBC reported a young Ethiopian girl had been kidnapped. They searched for this young girl a week and finally caught sight of her captors moving her. Miraculously, the three lions had intercepted these kidnappers and chased them away from this young girl. These lions then sat with this girl until the police had arrived. Once the police approached the lions gingerly and the young girl, the lions walked away, leaving the young girl unharmed. When questioned, the young girl said she had been beaten by her captors but had not been harmed by the lions. Today we read of another pack of lions that stood guard over our friend Daniel. His is a story of steadfast service to the king and to God. His is a story of faithful and honest service. His is a story of attentive and competent service. And finally, his story is one of continual service to God. We're going to learn today, and I hope you take this home with you, that you can count on suffering for being a Christian. You can count on it. If you haven't suffered yet, then you have led a highly spiritual, shielded life. But suffering is going to come. You can count on suffering for being an honest person. You may even see your enemies temporarily succeed and overpower you. However, in the end, what was meant for your harm will eventually be turned back on your adversary. Even though this will happen, we must always pray for our enemies and love them. We will see this all as we unpack the sixth chapter. So the chapter opens with Daniel after Darius overcomes Babylon. This is right after the feast where Belshazzar sees the dismembered hand. And the Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson, the Lord has measured out your kingdom. You've been weighed in the balance, found wanting, and your kingdom is being divided into the Medes and the Persians. So right after that, Belshazzar is killed. Darius becomes the ruler. So now we're in the silver chest and arms of the statue Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about way back in chapter 2. This was several weeks ago. So we're in the chest and arms of silver. It's important to remember this second chapter. And why? Because the Jewish captives were struggling to understand where God was and how they managed to end up in Babylon. God himself was revealing not only his plan for the future of his people, but was also revealing his entire messianic kingdom. Okay, what's coming to pass right now in this chapter is not only God's plan for his own people, but his plan for the entire universe. God does not just reign over Christians and over his elect within the Jewish people. He reigns over everybody. He reigns over all creation, the whole universe. Sometimes when things look bad, when we're suffering in this world, and we're seeing people that seem to be the bad people seemingly victorious, we can look at this and say God is always on his throne. So Darius sets up 120 satrapies. These are kind of like states. We're 50 states, right? So the Medo-Persian Empire had 120 states. Over these, the king had set up three presidents, one of whom was Daniel. And Daniel's performance was such that he was about to be elevated over the whole kingdom. Proverbs 22:11 says, "One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend." We see that proven out. So these other people, there's like 130, 140 of them, they're jealous of Daniel. They wanted to trap him up, but they couldn't find any dereliction or any sort of incompetence in him, no corruption whatsoever. They all agreed that the only way to neutralize him would have to come from his devotion to God. They knew that Daniel served God continually, like clockwork. Every morning, every afternoon, and every evening, you could find Daniel in one place, and that was praying. Psalm 17:4 says, "Though people tried to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent through what your lips have commanded." The enemies of God, of Daniel, and our friend King Darius both have one important characteristic. They both knew that Daniel served God. Can that be said of you and I? Can it be said of us that we serve God continually? So they come before the king banking on his vanity and his ignorance. They incited Darius to issue a 30-day decree. Now this is where Darius kind of goes bad. It's only 30 days. His admirers, the king's admirers, right, are saying to him, for 30 days, nobody should pray to anything except you. If I was Darius, I'd have been like, as long as I live, I don't want anybody praying to anybody but me, right? This 30-day thing should have put alarm bells in his head. But he was too wrapped up in his own sense of self-importance to realize that this throng of jealous leaders were just looking to set up Daniel. So that self-absorption of his undermined his discernment. And he didn't see the trap that was laid up for Daniel. Ecclesiastes 4:13 says, "Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning." Immediately upon securing the rule signed by the king, these guys head for Daniel's house. They just knew as soon as they got that paperwork saying, you can't do this, they head directly for his house. They didn't have any prayers for the king. They wanted to trap Daniel. So they catch him praying and immediately go back to the palace to tattle. Psalm 37:32, "The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death." You have enemies right now. You have an adversary actively working against you right now. "For the weapons we fight with are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There's, even though you have an enemy, as long as you are faithful to God, as long as you're putting your trust in God, then you may feel some heat, you may have a setback, but God ultimately is going to bring you through. Proverbs 12:6, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them." They innocently asked the king, "Didn't you make a rule saying no one could pray to any person or God except you for 30 days? "Yes, according to the law of the Medes and Persians." "Well, Daniel has no regard for you or your rule." Now, as soon as Darius hears the word Daniel, the trap is sprung in his head. As soon as he hears the word Daniel, Darius immediately realizes two important things: that he's about to lose Daniel, and that he was set up in his own vanity and his own ignorance. Proverbs 18:7 says, "The mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives." Darius is experiencing that right now. So Darius tries to send down to secure Daniel's release, and then in Proverbs also it says, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. I should have had the chapter in there, but I forgot to put that in there. But the point of that is, in Darius's case, it was too late. By the time he realized his own vanity had gotten him into trouble, it was already too late. Darius foolishly allowed himself to be manipulated. He sowed to the wind and is now reaping the whirlwind. But he's trying to get Daniel delivered. Those satraps and presidents, like a legion of demons, continue to dog the king. Long gone is any pretense of regard for the king and his 30-day law. Now they're taunting him. Psalms 44:14-16. "I live in disgrace all day long, and my face is covered with shame at the taunts of those who reproach and revile me because of the enemy who is bent on revenge. There's a lesson in this for all of us. Don't allow yourselves to be manipulated because of your ego and because of you know, how you feel about yourself. What is interesting is that not one of these people accused Daniel directly. Your adversary, the devil, is like these people. When I was praying, when I was studying for this, I was reminded of Zechariah. There's a picture in the throne room of heaven where Joshua the high priest is standing before God in filthy rags. He's the high priest of Israel at the time. And the adversary, Satan, is standing beside him, accusing him before God. And then, I think it says an angel, but I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Jesus saying, is he not a branch snatched out of a smoldering branch, you know, removed from the fire? And then later on in the chapter, he gets new clothes and a new turban on his head. But that's you and me standing before God too. The devil is always accusing you before God right now. He's accusing you right now because of whatever attitude you had this morning on the way to church, or whatever happened last week, or a thousand other things. But because of the blood of Jesus, because of propitiation, because of the blood on the atonement seat, right now, your sins are covered. Every mistake you ever made has been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb, because of the grace of God, because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of His resurrection. You are absolutely being accused right now. Make no mistake about it. Your enemy is coming against you right this moment. But greater is He who is within you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that this morning? We're all burning sticks snatched from the fire. Every last one of us, no matter what's in your pocketbook, no matter what job you have, no matter where you came from, no matter what part of town you live in right now, we are all the same. Every last one of us, we're all sticks snatched from the fire because of the grace of God. Sola Christus, because of Jesus, because of Christ alone. That song you were singing, Will, you know, in Christ alone, my hope is found. That was part of my studies for my midterm exam for school this week, and that really spoke to my heart, because there are some churches out there who are trying to get rid of a certain line, and that had to do with the cross. You know, they wanted to lose a line in that, and I forget the line, but it has something to do with the cross. We want to talk about the love of God rather than the cross. But it's because of the cross of Christ, because of Christ's death on the cross, we have atonement for our sins. That had to happen. Without the cross, we could never have our sins atoned for. We could never approach the throne of grace with confidence. It's because of Jesus alone, because of His cross and His resurrection, that you and I are justified and will someday be glorified. Lord, that has nothing to do with this. So Darius relents to Daniel's accusers and gives the order for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. So he's 90 years old. He's the same age as Don Sanders back there. Can you imagine Don Sanders being thrown down into a den of lions? God forbid. I'll stand against those people there, Don. I can just see Daniel's face. It's a picture of serenity. I cannot help but think of the 91st Psalm, especially the last first few verses. It says, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer Him. And it's her, this whole Him thing, it's gender neutral, okay? I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. This is not dependent upon personal feelings. You don't have to feel like you're being rescued. You don't have to feel like you're being satisfied. You don't have to feel like the Lord is with you in trouble. But it is a fact. It's an absolute fact that you can bank on. You don't have to feel good about it. You don't even have to recognize it. But you know what? The enemies of God see it. It was Nebuchadnezzar who saw the fourth man in the fire. It was Belshazzar who saw the hand, the disembodied hand. And it was Darius who heard the magical words coming from Daniel, "O king, live forever." Darius shouts down to Daniel in encouragement, hoping against all hope that the God that Daniel served would be able to deliver him. Again, I ask you, can it be said of you and I that we serve God continually? This isn't, well, I saw this guy on a soapbox on this corner of you know, Central and 16th Street preaching the gospel, and that's how I know he serves God continually. That's not it. It's how you treat people. It's how you treat people that you think are insignificant. It's how you treat people at the deli counter. It's how you treat people at the intersection. It's how you treat people at school. It's how you are out there when you think nobody religious is looking at you. When you are serving God, then that's how people know that you serve God continually. What happens next is interesting. The Bible says that Darius spends the night fasting and without any diversions. He's not able to sleep. Not too long after Darius, another king, the king of Persians, would also lose sleep. This was King Ahasuerus in the Esther story. Esther 6, 1 through 3 says, "That night the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. And it was found, recorded there, that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who would conspire to assassinate King Xerxes." And then the king had asked, "Was anything done for this man in reward for his faithful service?" And they said, "No." And then the king brings in Haman, who was had just had this edict signed that was going to destroy all the Jews. And he says, and the king asked Haman, "What should be done for someone that the king wishes to honor?" And of course, you know, Haman thinks it's him he's talking about. "Well, he should ride on the horse, the regal horse. He should have trumpets blasting. This is what the person who's pleased the king." Turns out it was Mordecai. And then Haman had to lead him around and do that very thing. The name of God is not found anywhere in the book of Esther, but that's a proof right there. God interrupts the dreams of people, pagan rulers. That's a witness right there for Christians. We're convinced that when our person doesn't get elected, that we are in the apocalypse. I mean, the apocalypse is always 5 minutes away from us. It's always 5 minutes from whatever election we're about to see come. Okay, the big thing to take from this, though, is that God is always sovereign. He's always on his throne. He's on his throne, he's sitting there, and he sees all these kingdoms, and he puts a thought into their head, a thought into their head, a dream into their head, and then all of a sudden something's happening. Do you think that God is not in control and that he's not sovereign over the kingdoms of man just because of what you see on social media? Just because of what you see on cable TV? Cable TV does not rule and reign in this world. Social networks do not rule and reign in this world, but we act like it. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to people who are lost and dead in their sins and who are crawling around in the darkness, not able to tell their right hand from their left. I'm talking to Christians. If your feet are getting stomped on, I don't know, take some Motrin. Okay, so after seeing to it that Daniel was lifted out of the den and finding no wound on him, he orders Daniel's enemies and their families into the lion's den. These lions, whose mouths were shut, now annihilate more than 130 people before their bodies even reach the ground. Proverbs 13 and 15 says, "Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction." Like Nebuchadnezzar, Darius erupts into... hold on a second. I've got a really great nugget, and it has to do with the lion's den. This is another plug for Grace Path. If you want to hear it, it's really interesting. If you haven't bought the book, no big deal. Just come and audit the class. Okay, Darius erupts into doxology when he experiences the sovereign power of God. He extols I love these pagan kings' doxologies. They're just unfiltered praise to God. He is the living God. Unlike the pantheon of idols and gods that played no active role in their worshipers' lives, the God Daniel served was found to be alive and standing with his people. This is just like, what was it, the third chapter, right? Third or fourth chapter? When the Nebuchadnezzar throws those three boys, well, they're 38 years old, those three young men into the furnace. And then it was Nebuchadnezzar who saw the fourth man. And then when they were brought out, there wasn't a singe of there was no evidence on them whatsoever that they had been burned, except for one thing. Their bonding straps were burned off of them. I tell you, sometimes we go through a hard time and we think God's not there. But at the end, we come out of it and we're just polished gold. We're better off than we were when we went into it. The Bible says in Acts that Jesus stood up when Stephen was being stoned. We will sometimes suffer, but our Lord and Savior Jesus, God the Son, will always stand with you when you're going through your hard times. God endures forever. Governments fall. Politicians fall. Preachers fall. Your friends fall. Your husband may fall. Your wife may fall. All of life could fall down around you, but God endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. Darius recognizes that God's kingdom was not of this world and that it would remain forever, just as God remains forever. What better hope can you possibly have than God? His dominion will never end. This is that rock cut out of a mountain but without hands that fills the whole earth. You can put your trust in God even if you see that your nation is being destroyed around you, and it is. There's no shortage of shootouts. It's like the Wild West in the United States right now. And if you think that the world out there is reality, then you're going to be crushed right along with it, because it's going to be crushed. It's going to be destroyed. That world out there is part of the clay and iron toes of those feet. And Jesus, the Messianic kingdom, crushes that such that there's not a vestige left of it. There is no evidence whatsoever that system remained. Only the Messianic kingdom. Only the kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't have a kingdom mindset and you call yourself a Christian, then I don't know how your life isn't a wreck and a half. If you're going from problem to problem to problem, then maybe you don't have a kingdom mindset. So God rescues and saves. This doesn't mean that you will not experience scrapes, cuts, and bruises. It's going to happen. What this means is that God will deliver you from the evil that would surround you. If you are a Christian, then no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Your heritage is from the Lord. What you have is from the Lord. Therefore, it cannot be taken from you. And your righteousness is of the Lord, says the Lord. And Darius goes on to say, He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. This does not mean that you will see these signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will follow those that believe. We don't walk by signs and wonders. We walk by faith. The lost see signs and wonders. People coming behind us see signs and wonders, but we don't see them. There's no expectation that you see them. The nation of Israel saw a flaming fire in front of them in the center of their camp every day. Can you imagine seeing a flame of fire from the tabernacle all the way up into heaven? Can you imagine seeing that every day? They saw it every day. Where was their faith? Zero. They had none. As a result, and they bickered. They bickered against the Lord. They complained against the Lord, and the first generation was wiped out. Your circumstances, blessed by the Lord, will become signs and wonders to others. I'm going to say that again. Your circumstances, those things that you're suffering through right now, are blessed by the Lord, and they become a sign for other people to follow. Do you see that? Well, Jeff, I don't care. I'm tired of the suffering. I've been dealing with cancer my whole life, or I've been dealing with COVID for all this time. Where is God? He's with you right now. He's standing with you right now. If you look to the Lord, you will see His power made real in your life. He rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. What lions are threatening you right now? This is some application. Doctor bills, maybe? COVID, cancer, problems with your children, problems at work, your brother or sister in this church right now that you have a disagreement with, the devil. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7 and 9, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Remember Job's his example. Okay, I'm about to let you go because we have some stuff to do. God asked the devil, where you been? Well, I've been walking here and there in the earth. And then God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, I'm paraphrasing, yes, I considered him and the hedge that you built around him. So he got the Lord to say, he said, if you take this hedge away and you afflict him, he will curse you to your face. And so the Lord allowed the devil to take away something from Job. When you're suffering, when you and I are being persecuted, when we're suffering, when we're in the lion's den, it was something that was designed and permitted by God. That thing that happened to Job, it didn't happen just as a result of that conversation between God and the devil. That happened as a design. It was designed by God from before the foundation of the universe. Everything that you're going through right now has been planned in advance. God planned it for His glory. What you're going through right now is for His glory. Our primary purpose in life is to bring glory to God, to put everybody before ourselves, and to further His kingdom. So finally, at the end, Daniel is promoted within the kingdom of Darius and Cyrus. Throughout this book, promotion has been showered on people after they've suffered in their walk with God. For Nebuchadnezzar, he had suffered after he walked in God's discipline and then acknowledged God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted after they had been thrown into the fire. See, it's the grace of God. The grace of God says, no matter who you are, if you're my servant, you're going to go through a time of purification. You're going to suffer. It's kind of like being in a, what's it called? I forget the name of it. You take gold and you put it in this, crucible. And you put the lid on it and you put heat on it, right? And it becomes hot. All that pressure and all that heat keeps compounding upon itself. And then finally that gold just melts. And all of those impurities come to the top. And that expert metallurgist, it just skims it right off. And they pour that gold out. And what's left is soft, malleable, pure gold. And that's what you're going to be when you come through the suffering that you go through. And some of you all have been through some rough times. And you've had real loss. And you've had real suffering. And you've wondered where God is at. Well, God is, He's got you right where you need to be. He's skimming off those impurities, all that self-trust, all that ego, all that me, me, me stuff. What about me this? What about me that? As long as that's in you, you're going to be in that pressure. You're going to be in that heat. If there's any hardness about you, if you have any hardness of heart, you're going to experience that pressure and that heat until that goes away. God's going to keep doing it until that does go away. But at the end, you are in a better place than you were before. God gives you that prosperity that you've been looking for. He gives you all those great things, but it comes after that process. When we're refining the fire, we're purified. God is getting us ready for even greater things in me, in Him. So be encouraged with that this morning. Now unto Him who's able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.